FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 1-16-20. Well, the impeachment farce is well underway. Will there be witnesses? Will there be an expedited dismissal? Who wins? Who loses? And why should you care? Well, if you do care, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Let us know why and what your thoughts are. And right now with me is Matt Nye, head of the Republican Liberty Caucus. It's great to have you back on, Matt.
Hey, Kerry. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, so it looks like we're going to have this show trial. And this is where Mitch McConnell kind of bitch slaps Nancy and the Democrats and lets them know who their daddy is, huh?
We hope so, right? Let's hope that he follows through with that.
Now, what choice does he have? If the Republicans were to turn on Trump, especially there being no underlying crime, that would be the end of the Republican Party as we know it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I say, though, they seem to be frequently do things that don't make sense. So.
Yeah, well, agree with you there. But in this instance, what choice do they really have? They stuck together in the right. House like glue.
Yeah.
And they're going to stick together in the Senate, probably have a couple of Democrat defections as well, right?
You would hope. That I think that's definitely going to happen in some of those swing districts. So. Mm. There.
And like Joe Manchin, Joe Manchin's already said he's not going to vote for it, right?
Correct.
So, but here's the thing. When you start talking about the Ukraine and the Bidens, virtually all of the Republicans, or many of them in Senate, are tied up in getting money from the Ukraine as well. We've seen this.
Yeah, and I just heard, I don't know if you heard the news earlier today, but I guess they're saying that the Burisma was packed with some sort of phishing scam. And so there's some expectation that there may be some juicy emails coming out of Burisma relating to Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
As well as others. Look, McCain was involved with Ukraine, and that means that probably Lindsey Graham is involved as well, right?
They were sick as thieves, that's true.
And I think somehow the Ukraine became a hot seat of corruption. We'd give them money, and then they would funnel it back to various politicians in both parties. Right. I think that's what's going to come out right here.
Yep.
That seems to be the rumor. So it just surprises me. Like, who wants to call witnesses here? They should just get rid of it as quick as they can, but they're kind of an impossible situation, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, what you just described does make a very practical case for the quick dismissal. And so it'll be curious to see, you know, kind of which faction, if you will, wins out on how they handle this.
Mm. Because as Harry Truman once said, the only people who become rich in Congress are criminals, thieves, right?
Well, and that's, it's pretty easy to see who those are. You just compare their net worth before they went in to what their net worth is now. So.
Yeah, well, that's basically all of them. The reason why Trump supposedly picked Jeff Sessions is because in the book, I don't remember which book it was by Schweitzer, but he said, you know, he was the only honest person in the Senate. All the other ones were on the take. And should that surprise us?
No, I'm not surprised to hear that. So, and I guess that ties into Sessions being overly cautious and recusing himself, right? Maybe he really was trying to be completely above reproach, beyond reproach.
Yeah, could be. You know, when Schweitzer was dealing with the insider trading in Congress, which evidently is rampant, and then they passed a rule against it, and then they revoked that rule. You know, when you look at all that, and you know, these guys that they're supposed to be serving the people are a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, it's very very reminiscent of a, you know, the mob, basically. I remember when I was in the mortgage business back in the mid-2000s, there were several people like Cuomo and Schumer that way, and Barney Frank as well, where they were passing legislation that on the one hand would restrict, you know, and regulate the market, but on the other hand, it would enrich their friends and family who conveniently were lined up in these businesses that they created, like the appraisal management service and those types of things. So it was like, hey, we're doing this for the good of the consumer, but oh, by the way, my brother-in-law is going to own the appraisal company that everybody mm-hmm. has to register through, you know, that kind of thing.
And Barney Frank's boyfriend was head of new products at Fannie Mae, and there's just so much corruption. The guys who caused the whole mortgage meltdown were the ones who are now going to fix the problem? I don't think so. And they just set it up for the next time, right?
That's exactly right. Very frustrating. That's one of the reasons people were so angry in the last presidential cycle. And one of the reasons I think Trump was elected was to try to get away from that type of cronyism.
Yeah, well, that's what they're really good at. Between Barney Frank and Chris Countrywide Dodd, you know, they gave him all these low, no interest mortgages. And he retired off to Ireland, really as criminal as he was, right?
Yeah, it's very frustrating, no question.
So what about the upcoming presidential election? Are any of these jokers in a position to actually win on the Democratic side? Or are they just fake candidates being put up to give the people the appearance of choice and democracy? And then at the last minute at the convention, the real power behind the curtain steps forward.
You know, the Democrats have a very difficult choice. So if you go with somebody like Sanders, you know, totally avowed socialist, you make your base, your radical base happy, but presumably mainstream America is not ready to go full socialist yet. I know we're getting close, but so that's on the one hand. Or like you say, do you go with more moderate, you know, kind of a placeholder like Joe Biden? So it'll be curious to see how it shakes out.
But look at Biden. I mean, the man is a joke. He looks like he's suffering from dementia. The gaffes just keep coming unabated. How does anybody think this guy can win?
I'm not sure. I mean, he's definitely seems like he's losing momentum, obviously, after these last few months with all of the different, you know, it does appear they're looking for viable alternatives. I just don't see any, you know, maybe it sounds like Bloomberg's starting to make some headway. And of course, he's spent, I think they said, near $250 million now. So maybe you really can buy yourself the nomination anyway. I don't know if he can buy the whole thing, but maybe he can buy the nomination.
I don't think so. He spent $250 million and he's number five. I mean, that's quite a return on investment. Well, it'll be interesting to see who the real candidate is, who emerges, because like you say, they have a problem just dumping Bernie because what do, right? A large part of the party really supports this character, even though he's 80 years old, right. Is only going on two cylinders. And, you know, maybe he'll be good debating Trump, but probably not too good. Certainly he'll be better than sleepy, creepy Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He had a heart attack and he's still... he's still working it, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so handicapping it looks like it's Trump's to lose, doesn't it?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier 7-project portfolio, including its 2 flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Oh, I agree with that. Absolutely. I think it doesn't matter who it's going to be on the Democrat side. I mean, in terms of issues, they just have nothing to run on. Trump's just got this killer record in terms of the, you know, the jobs, the economy, the stock market, the deregulation. I mean, all of these things, foreign policy. I just don't see, quite frankly, it doesn't matter which Democrat it is. None of them are charismatic enough to, you know, fend off that, to his record. They just can't. They got nothing from an issues-based standpoint, nothing to run on.
What about the reaction to the killing of Soleimani? You know, I didn't know about this guy, but after I heard about what he did and what he was planning to do and everything else, my question was, why was he still alive in 2020?
Right. What took so long? Yeah, the I saw a great Facebook meme where they had a picture of Trump and it said, and now for my next trick, I'll make the Democrats defend Iranian terrorists. You know, it was pretty good.
You sure were, huh?
No, it is fascinating when you've got like the hatred of Trump is so intense that they're defending, known killers of American soldiers. It's really quite fascinating. So.
Yeah, well, he was a devout Muslim. You know, like remember the Times obit for Baghdadi, and he was an austere Muslim scholar.
Muslim scholar. That's right.
Yeah, and then you got like Hitler. Here, he was a talented, aspiring artist. You know, what will they come up with next, right?
Yeah, the one thing that I think is interesting is the left now is completely exposed itself. If you remember when Obama was running, if you called him a socialist, you were crazy. You know, you were a radical Tea Party extremist. Yeah. That's absurd. Obama's not a socialist. And now, I mean, it's just in you. And not only is it just socialism in your face, I mean, now they're trying to quash, you know, free speech on campus. I mean, it's
on the internet,
all out in the, it's all out in the open. And I don't think, you know, like you say, mainstream America is ready for that. And so I think Trump sweeps it. So we'll see.
Yeah,
dramatic it is. But
I think you can fool some of the people some of the time, right? But you're going to be able to fool them all the people all the time? I think not. And no. I think the day of reckoning is coming. You know, look at AOC. She's required to pay tribute to the Democrat Party in the form of dues, the DCC. DCCC, that's the Democratic Congressional Committee, and she's supposed to give them $250,000 and tells them to go take a hike.
Yeah, that was pretty pretty interesting. So, and I understand she's getting some blowback on that.
Yeah, but she doesn't care, and they still, the proper thing would have been to eject her and the squad from Congress, but because the Democrats believe that everyone should be heard, no matter how off the wall they are, no matter how anti this or anti that, because they believe that everyone has a right to be heard and a right to participate in the process, they won't get rid of people who are effectively destroying their party.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was at an event up in Tallahassee last night. And I spoke with a gentleman who he may very well be one of the, you know, last blue dog Democrats in existence. But I was asking him, how do you function in that environment? And he said, well, the upside is, you know, he's like, I'm very special. Like I'm very sought after because there are so few of us.
So, that's pretty funny.
But yeah, you remember the old line, I didn't leave the Republican Party, the Republican Party left me. Well, now the Democrats are the ones in that position. So.
Yeah. And I just wonder where this all winds up, Matt. You know, I wonder where, because really we're dealing with people who are just, I don't know how to say it other than completely off the wall.
Yeah, it's complete nihilism. Like there's no, they're literally denying, you know, Western civilization. They're denying reason, causality, law of identity. And so I think when Trump wins this next cycle, they're going to have to do some sort of just complete reset, right? There's got to be some sort of on the part of the Democratic Party, some sort of soul searching, and they've got to come up with a new identity. I guess they could, you know, double down even more on the communism, socialism, communism thing. But I just, you know, there has to be some sort of reckoning within the party as far as what their, you know, what they think their core values are.
Yeah, well, they have no core values. That's quite obvious. And they're alienating large swaths of their constituency. And look, they're losing white middle class, white working class men who, you know, unions were their biggest thing. That was one of their biggest constituencies. Now it looks like Trump is going to be getting a large portion of that union vote, right?
Yeah, no, it does look that way, and he's always had a good rapport, you know, with that segment. I think to me the bigger concern, if you project out, you know, so let's assume that Trump wins, then what does the Republican Party look like after that win? And my concern is it gets squishy. You know, we'll see how it shakes out, but I know here in Florida, I'm sure you're aware, we've got, you know, big pushes on gun control. You know, we've got a very liberal Republican Senate here. And so, you know, there aren't that many staunch conservatives or libertarians in Congress. And so, you know, that's really what I'm more interested to see is what does the Republican Party look like and how does it govern after Trump wins the next
election. As we're talking about that, we should talk about our governor, Ron DeSantis. He is one of my favorites, and I see him as the natural heir to Donald Trump. The first thing he did when he became governor, I mean, day one, is he fired that insane incompetent from Broward County, the Broward coward, Scott Israel, fired him. All right, gone, removed, suspended, whatever. Then he got rid of the Palm Beach County vote fraud counter. I can't remember her name. And he basically reached an agreement with the Broward County vote fraud counter, whatever her name was, Brenda Snipes, I think.
Yeah,
he got rid of her. So this election, at least, what we're going to see is two Republicans who are actually doing the vote counting for Broward and Palm Beach counties, the epicenter of voter fraud in Florida. I can just imagine how much Trump will actually win by, assuming he does win.
Well, yeah, as you know, the margins for both Rick Scott's campaign and DeSantis's race, both of those were razor thin. And, you know, a large part of that was those two counties, you know, quote unquote, finding absentee ballots. And of course, the unfortunate casualty of all that was Matt Caldwell, who was a phenomenal, just a wonderful guy, brilliant, brilliant guy, and would have been a wonderful agricultural commissioner. So he really paid the kind of the ultimate price for Rick Scott not acting, you know, prior to that election. You know, everybody knew there were issues down there, and you know, Scott's failure to act essentially allowed him to steal the election from Matt Calkins, Matt Caldwell. And almost, you know, potentially could have hurt himself in DeSantis.
Of course. And Rick Scott was a weak leader. The only time he was good in the state was when there was a hurricane. He should have removed Scott Israel the day of the Parkland School massacre shooting. Should have fired us, you know, driven him out. And yet he did nothing.
So the only thing there, I've not dug into the law on that, but I've heard a few people say that they think technically, that was an overreach. I agree with the sentiment, but my understanding is I don't think, like, the governor removing a supervisor of elections, you can make the case because that supervisor is impacting statewide elections, but the sheriffs are supposed to be, my understanding constitutionally, like, they are the law of the land, and I don't think they're, you know, I don't think the governor is supposed to be able to remove them. Now, I know the judges, I think, upheld the whole thing. So I guess, you know, that's settled, but that was the only, you know, what I remember when that was happening was, it was kind of like, okay, are we, you know, is this an overreach? Because I guess the question then becomes, if the governor can just remove.
Yeah, I know.
Sheriffs, like, at what, you know what I mean? It's kind of the slippery slope. Okay. Well, at what point now have you crossed the line, you know, in terms of incompetence or, you know, whatever. It just, that to me was kind of
I got
crazy.
You. So. But on the other hand, no, this is so egregious, you know,
right,
all those kids getting killed, and he's directly responsible for it. So through his inept leadership and through, you know, bad training and affirmative action and the promise program, you know, this guy deserved to be tossed on his butt.
And, that's what's so frustrating about this whole, you know, we ended up with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act where, you know, they put all these restrictions in place for firearms. And what's so maddening about the whole thing is in that incident, the government failed on literally every conceivable level. Like at every level, the government was the failure. And then somehow, you know, by restricting gun rights and passing a law, somehow government's magically going to fix it. And it's just, it's very frustrating to me that, you know, that legislation was passed in the manner in which it was passed. And we still got, you know, we're working as the RLC to try and get some of the provisions of that bill repealed. But it's...
Yeah, another victory just, for Rick Scott.
That's right. You know? That's exactly right.
He was weak, weak-kneed. He was a rhino at best, a bushy, and we're best off. He's fine in the Senate. Just leave him there. He can't do as much harm, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we were, you know, my Tea Party group in Brevard, we were one of the first ones to host Rick Scott because we considered him the outsider. You know, back then that was McCollum was the establishment candidate. Correct. And so we had Rick Scott come to our Tea Party. We had, gosh, a couple thousand people at the stadium. And for about the first 6 months, he was pretty strong. You know, he unveiled the budget to the Tea Party groups and all of that. And then he ended up hiring up in Tallahassee. He hired a bunch of the establishment folks as part of his staff. And in less than a year, he had basically, you know, turned into an establishment type rhino.
Yep. And that's where he is now. Let him be in the Senate where he's with his kind. But DeSantis, let's hope that he stays doing what he's doing because, you know, he really, really is a decisive leader, not afraid to take on the entrenched interest. You know, he was the only governor ever elected to Florida in modern times that wasn't owned by the sugar lobby, right?
Well, that's true, right. He defeated the proverbial sugar lobby candidate, right?
Exactly.
So that was right. But, yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, it'll be curious to see how, I mean, he's obviously, you know, his approval rating is sky high. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, the only downside that I see is the budget, you know, proposal. The spending is definitely going up and it appears, you know, it's because he's trying to placate the environmentalists, the teacher unions. And so we'll see how the budget shakes out this session, but it looks like, you know, the argument that I always hear in Florida is, well, the budget's going up because more people are coming in. But if you look at the numbers, the spending is outpacing the population growth like 2-1.
I mean,
it's not a proportionate increase. It's a, you know, significantly higher increase. So that's, you know, from a fiscal conservatism standpoint,
agreed.
We'll see how the budget shakes up. But other than that, I agree with you. He's definitely not afraid to, you know, hold people accountable. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, he's put in several good conservative judges, obviously same thing, you know, at the federal level with Trump, that could be his, you know, obviously most, you know, far reaching legacy is all of these, you know, the justices on the Supreme Court and all these federal judges. So.
Agreed for sure. Hey, let's hope that he keeps up and he's consistent because he's the best hope that we have. Anyway, Matt, we want to find out more about you. Where do we find you on the web?
It's rlc.org is the website, or you can follow us on Twitter at rlibertycaucus.
Okay, excellent. And we will do that very thing. Appreciate you coming on. Questions, comments for Matt, myself. What do you think is going to be the net outcome of the Democratic fight for the nomination? Are they going to turn on each other and kind of be like rats in a cage and wind up consuming each other? Or will they be more like rats trying to escape from a tenement fire in Manhattan? You know, they all head for the exit at the same time. I think it's going to be really interesting to find out. Matt, hey, questions, like I said, comments, kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page is financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thanks, Kerry. I really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.